28:39. My dream last night. Phone book, searching through it. But defeated by my memories being systematically erased. Could not keep in mind what I had found in connection already. That was why the trail petered out. I continued to forget, and so retried the same material repeatedly. 28:45. In a sense, my novels trained, prepared me to have my 2374 experience, and to comprehend its significance. This aspect cannot be overstressed. One could regard my 27 years of writing as a kind of apprenticeship, leading up to the moment when I would be ready for the 2374 experience. It's as if I suspected the true situation, and finally someone who knew decided to let me see openly the verification of my years of surmise. I certainly didn't crack it on my own. I suppose that what happened with me constituted an ultimate liberation, but I suspect that one is given this gift only after a long, painful personal search. What I think was accomplished was the breaking of the Orwellian horse script. I would have worked and then died with no reward accruing from the work. I would have died and departed as a mere means, agent, instrument for my writing and children, never truly having been free to choose a time for myself. Talk about emancipation. Even in the act on me of being liberated, I construed what was happening as a further task, duty and mission, not as a reward or salvation. I went on then to encumber myself even further after that. I could not comprehend that I had been liberated and that my work was done. Now I could reap the rewards. Since then, my lessons have been ones of saying goodbye to obligations, to my career and family and friends, to duty as such. My legal responsibilities are meager and clearly defined. I am not required to take on any new ones in order to justify my existence. It's now a question of what I want to do, not what is imposed on me. And what do I want to do? It has something to do with Mexico. March 1978. Folder 29. 29:1. Cornford on Timaeus. Note. Francis M. Cornford. Plato's Cosmology. The Timaeus of Plato. 1937. End note. Plato argues that the universe is an alive organism with a world soul. But the demiurge, nous, must persuade, cannot compel necessity, chance, the chaotic, into order. Therefore, Cornford concludes, there must be an irrational element in the world's soul, or there would be no ananki for nous to persuade, and it is very significant that the demiurge cannot compel. This chaos did not precede order, but is a constant in the universe. The omnipotent creator God of the Jews and Christians is a concept which does not account for this element that Cornford calls the dark domain of the irrational powers. Also, Plato's cosmology in Timaeus, as Cornford interprets it, probably correctly, coincides exactly with what I experienced in 374. Except I add him who had not yet come in Plato's time, the Savior, who is the penetration of holy wisdom, nous, into the microcosm. Not only does the omnipotent creator God of the Jews and Christians not fit observable facts, it also does not fit my revelation. Plato's cosmology does. And keep in mind, Plato censured Anaxagoras for believing the nous set the world spinning and lost interest in it, a criticism I would agree with. If I am to be true to what I see both normally and by revelation, I must accept Timaeus, adding to it the descent to the sublunar world of divine wisdom or divine reason, and perhaps herewith rest. The world as living, evolving organism. Yes, I saw that in 374. But it's psyche, partially irrational, and the demiurge, divine reason, persuades, i.e., subdues it into order. 29.2. It is this disorder, chaos, of Ananke, which shows up in my books, e.g. Ubik, as entropy. Cornford says, it's always present being overruled by divine reason, order. So it is not just the decay of form, it is an element of the irrational, a destroyer of eidos, as I depicted in Maze. Cornford specifically uses the term overrule. By divine order over Ananke, the mind disclosed to me, persuade equals overrule. Cornford. Reason overrules Ananke. 29.3. What a fantastic cosmology. The universe is a living animal, constantly changing like all living animals. So this disorder is always underlying as a constant, not prior to order, but under it, whose soul, psyche, is either irrational or has an element of the irrational in it, identified with disorder and causal chance happenings, and divine reason is overruling or persuading or subduing it as best it can. But it, divine reason, lacks the power to compel. Is it possible to say that the universe organism is insane or partly insane? And doesn't this fit in perfectly with the Gnostic revelation? 29.4. Plato would have been amazed to learn that 400 years after his death, divine nous, reason, was born incarnate as the man Jesus, and that it's going to happen again, at which time divine reason will achieve total order and absolutely subdue the disorder, chaos, of the partly irrational world soul, who we may know as the creator of this world. Finally, for the first time, the component of disorder will be eliminated, i.e., the world soul healed, made sane. 29.5. The joined random messages and information, as in Ubik, are the visible and audible thoughts of divine reason, Zebra Christ, the invader, doctor, into this partly irrational universe, organism or cybernetics-like. The organism, in contrast, does not think. 29.7. Regarding the black iron prison versus the palm garden world. A mere shift of, say, 10% of pattern, very slight but skillful accentuations and suppressions, produces these alternate universes. And what about Togomi in the park with the piece of silver jewelry? Note, TMITHC, The Man in the High Castle, 1962. A Hugo Award-winning novel set in an alternate United States where the Axis powers won World War II. The novel's portrayal of the interactive wisdom of the I Ching looks forward to some of Dick's later theorizing about Valis, while the protagonist Togomi's epiphany late in the novel anticipates, for Dick, his own experience with the fish sign. End note. Slight shift. And he is in our world. Like Jacob Burma, seeing the sunlight on the pewter dish. 29.9. Burroughs in The Ticket That Exploded says of the Nova Mob parasites that as they move from one human host to another, they give themselves away to the Nova police by the continuity of their habits, such as tastes in food, in Hamburger Mary's case, a taste for peanut butter. This was exactly true about Thomas, and I've subjectively felt myself as a female, a womb into which something like an egg, firebright, was deposited, like a cuckoo egg. Was Thomas a saprophyte turned parasite and deposited his egg in me? Does this mean that Burroughs is either intentionally or unintentionally describing something which is true? And he's into those pasted-together subliminal messages, too. K.W. has noted a resemblance between several things I've described and what Burroughs has written, e.g., my conviction that as a race or even planet, we are sick, i.e., occluded perceptually, and that a divine doctor entity is restoring us. Coincidence? Burroughs speaks of a virus. A word became a neural cell virus infecting us. After reading Burroughs, I dipped into Ubik. It certainly would be easy and reasonable for a reader to think that both Burroughs and I know something, and we want our novels to be taken as at least partly true. They have a strange ring of revealed truth about them. I feel it about his book, about mine, is, as Catherine Kurtz says, something writing through us. Note: Catherine Kurtz, born 1944, is a fantasy author most noted for her Dorini novels. End note. Isn't Palmer Eldritch a kind of parasite replicating himself or itself using humans as hosts? But my sense about Thomas was of a benign, not evil, intrusion. Still, it was an intrusion into my psyche, a taking over. Are such intrusions always to be deplored? Or was I beguiled? Didn't it, he, get me out of trouble? There is just no doubt of it. Such passages in Burroughs' novel as the do-it-do-it neck message within another message, words that weren't originally there, but are like the inner trigrams of an I Ching hex. That is one absolute triangulated element with one Ubik and two what I saw in 374, plus the parasite criminals and Nova cops and the infecting virus. 2911. The virus of Burroughs is an information or word virus, but in this sense, it blocks the reception of information. So it is an anti-information virus. And then it substitutes false homeo-info, die messages inside your psyche, that replaces the genuine information, auditory and visual. Information blocking, as represented in Mays symbolically by the erasure of the instruction tape. This tells us what kind of info is blocked, our instructions as to our purposes or tasks, all that the term instructions imply. And where do the instructions come from? A satellite, in other words, another planet or world from this. And also, somehow relatedly, we are not really where and when we think we are. The erased instructions include needed accounts and full info as to where we are, as well as what our job is. We are cut off from and not receiving verbal transmission. We can no longer hear what we're supposed to hear. This can be collated with Julian Jayne's theory of the loss of the voices of the gods. K.W. points out that our finding info in random arrangements, they may not be random in the first place. The visual part is in the color discrimination circuits, which permit set ground apperception. The auditory part is the eigenbyte of Inuit. Note: also, eigenbyte of Inuit, translated as prick or remorse of conscience, from Kentish Middle English. Dick's spelling suggests his familiarity with the term is via Joyce's Ulysses. End note. And depends upon a suppression, suspension of subvocal thinking, as Burroughs points out. Over 10 seconds of inner silence is impossible. Inner chatter occurs. There is an inner raving, howling, clamoring bug which deliberately creates derogatory noise on the line at all times. A jamming, an override. We can't receive audio or visual information. It is jammed or cooked. So Santa Sophia, divine wisdom, must land behind enemy lines, within the prison, and inform us here, located here with us, since its info is not getting through. Each of us has an override in him, and there appears to be an override layer in the atmosphere. They could transmit to me only for a brief interval, then slew the monitor within, but presently another one replaced it. So again I am cut off. They are at present diversifying their arrivals, feints within and among which the real landing, Second Advent, will be lost in the confusion of absurd raw data. Which among the fake messages is the real one? Garbage in, garbage out, in terms of feeding data to our computers. Random and bizarre and ubiquitous. But primarily, as John Calvin said, the damage is to our brains, to our faculties. We can't see and we can't hear. Restoration of our lost faculties signifies the end times. And my faculties in 374 were restored. That this restoration could only be temporary shows why Santa Sophia must be incarnated here again. 2919. The voice I heard, which was not a masculine voice, was that of the thinking world soul, which must be understood as feminine. It was the voice of the total entelechy around us. She will incarnate here once again. So what I colloquized with was not someone or something in the universe, a part of the universe, but its very mind itself. No wonder I saw it as Zebra outside me. The physical world is its body. No wonder Zebra could modulate causal processes and mimic natural objects. They are its, her, body, and the changes thereof. I saw that body as alive, which is correct. So I saw reality correctly, as a vast living body, and I conversed with its mind, psyche. This identification of Santa Sophia with the world soul absolutely accounts for and agrees with what I saw and understood, the vast, thinking, living, evolving animal with a rational intelligence. And that mind, holy wisdom, can enter its own body in microform. No wonder I thought of it as Brahman. 2921. 1. The universe is alive. It has a mind. It thinks. It has audible thoughts, which, under certain circumstances, we can hear inwardly. The mind is female. Plato says, its discourse is always true. 2. There are counterfeit interpolations into this living, thinking animal universe, which screw it up, running counter to its evolution as an entelechy. It must detect these spurious interpolations and expose or abolish them for what they are, i.e., get rid of them, get them out of its body. These spurious interpolations are deranged and malicious. In microform, the mind travels around in its own body, seeking them out, getting them, with it as bait, to disclose themselves. When the mind, Santa Sophia, encounters and detects a spurious, i.e., irreal section, it replaces it with an ontologically real section of itself by transubstantiation. It has already determined that much of this particular planet is irreal. Hence, it is making orthogonal time changes here, from Black Iron Prison World to Palm Tree Garden. We are none the wiser vis-a-vis this salvation and the substitution of the benign real for the spurious malicious. We are back again to the model of construct, repairman, and deranged circuit board. The messages intended for reception by the circuit board are not getting to it, specifically, the voice, thoughts of the mind of the total organism. The kingdom of God represents reintegration into the total entelechy, in which the voice is again audible. To overcome the barrier created by the derangement, the microform came here, assessed the situation, and was ejected. When it returns, it will not merely determine conditions, it will repair. The two missions, Advents, have quite different purposes. By the nature of the derangement, the mind had to come here personally to determine the situation. There is a total information block going both ways. 2923. The Great Mother retreated out of sight behind the figure of Christ and rules the cosmos invisibly. Yet she disclosed herself to me. 1. The Sibyl, visually. 2. The female or non-male voice. 3. The Santa Sophia prophecy itself. Then a great revelation has been made to me. The female hypostasis of God, which is unknown in and to the whole modern world. It has been thousands of years since she was believed in.